The following program is brought to you in living color.
Hello, and welcome to the newest episode of Landon Nation. It's Kelly here with Mark.
I thought that was pretty good. I thought that was...
So that song was Heart of the Country by good old Paul McCartney.
Good old... big fan of the show.
Good old Paul McCartney. if you're listening, Paul, hello. I'm sure he is. so paired that song up with the Little House opener, because we're talking about Little House on the Prairie today. We're doing Going Home.
Yeah.
The second time we've talked about this, because I think it was about 2 years ago, we had recorded it for when I drove past and it disappeared.
I even have the exact date. We did it in July.
Yes, so it was almost 2 years ago that we recorded this.
Because I looked it up, you know, to find out exactly when we originally, let's see, July 6th, 2022. And so what I did is I did a search on everything I own that was created on July 6th, 2022. And the episode's lost. I have no, I mean, I know how it happened, but it's so stupid. We did a Highway to Heaven episode with the same title. And I guarantee you, I just didn't put two and two together. And one of them got deleted, obviously.
And unfortunately, it was this one, but it kind of, I think, worked out okay, because now we can talk about it again for Landon Nation. And this episode has, I think, some of the best Michael Landon acting that we get in Little House. So I think that Landon Nation's a good platform for it anyway.
You know, I think that Michael Landon really brought it home with this particular episode. As well,
going home. That was nice and funny.
It reminds me a lot of the acting that happened in the pilot. Like, it's real dead serious stuff going on, you know?
Yeah, and I think that he really pulls it off so well. Just this whole, like, he's just absolutely defeated over the situation. And it's, I think, palpable. Like, even, like, when he's not speaking, just in his mannerisms and his expression.
Yeah.
And I think that he just does such a good job. And there's one scene in particular, which I'll point out when we get to it, that I just absolutely love. And I've always loved it. And I'm like, this is, like, one of the best Michael Landon moments ever.
And I think that we might even have the longest eyebrows ever in an episode.
Oh, yeah. EJ Andre with his crazy brows. Those are some prairie brows. But I forget if we've said the title of the episode yet or not. No. But in case we haven't, it's Going Home, which originally aired March 31st, 1976. And I believe it, I don't have the number for the what episode of the season, but season two, and it's the end of the season.
Yeah, it's 22. It's the 22nd episode of the second season. So it's the, you know, season finale.
Yeah, which actually, I was thinking about this, like, right before I jumped on for us to record. It's kind of interesting. Season two is framed by these episodes where we have these, like, kind of catastrophic losses. You know, we have the richest man in Walnut Grove kicking off the season, which that one, you know, was basically, he had this, like, expected, you know, income that he ends up not getting. And then it was, like, the whole family pulls together. That's a really good episode. Another good Michael Landon episode, I think, is that episode.
I'm surprised.
And then we have the end of the season. What was that?
No, I'm saying I'm surprised that this wasn't a two-parter and them bringing part two into season three. Like, you know, you leave thinking, like, oh, wow, they're going to leave Walnut Grove, even though you know they won't.
Yeah, but, like, the suspense to it and everything.
Yeah, kind of nice.
But this one, like, I was going to say, is kind of an interesting contrast with kind of how we start off the season with, like, you know, kind of this tragic, you know, financial situation, and the whole family pulls together, definite teamwork, the kind of thing that we like to see from the Ingalls family. And then this is Pa in another tragic situation, approaching it very differently, and that he is very much, like, not making it a team effort with the family, which he gets called out on. but it's kind of an interesting progression that he just is so like, I'm absolutely defeated and like depressed and but I just have to get out of this place.
Him making that decision to just up and leave and this is what we're doing is very much the Charles Ingalls from the pilot.
That's true, yeah, because he's just like, I'm dragging my family out to Kansas.
Yeah, and he's like, all right, and we're going to stop right here, you know, and
it's
more in line with the character. I'm going to play my theme song choice, which is not as...
Oh, yeah, sorry, I kind of got, like, rattling off on that before you even got to do your theme song. My bad.
Yeah, my theme song will wait. So this one, a lot of people get
to
know.
You'll play it when I tell you. You can play it.
I'm already playing it. Ah! So this one, people know right off the bat what this is because it's a very famous TV theme song from 1982.
I started breathing on the night we kissed, and I can't remember what I ever did before. What would we do, baby?
And that's it. You know what's weird is whoever's the female singer has like the most annoying voice.
Yeah, it is kind of like
it's a little bit high pitched and a little bit strange.
Yeah.
I mean, it almost fit. You know, like, but I don't know. It's a very dated. That of course is the TV theme song to Family Ties.
Yeah. So nice to take from family show and apply it to another.
Yeah. And at the end, they go, sha-na-na-na, which we did not get to. But yeah, we're doing Going Home. I see we just jump into some of these tragedies. So last night. Last night, it was just a regular, beautiful summer day here in New York. And. But so last night I was finishing up some work stuff, some work papers, and I just noticed like it was started raining like really hard outside and the wind was getting kind of nutty. So I was like, huh. So I still have my windows open up here because it's not quite that hot up, you know, yet. So I closed them and I have two windows on the side. So I close the one next to me and I go and close the other one. And as I'm closing it, I look outside and it's like a monsoon outside. Like I can't even see the street. Like it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm feeling hail coming in. I'm like, what the, you know? So I close.
What the hail?
What the hail? I missed that pun. So I closed the window and I had this little tiny, a snow globe of all things, like right on this ledge and it fell and smashed and all this glass is all over the stairs that I have to walk down. And
that sucks.
But all of us, I mean, it made so much noise that, you know, Betsy was like, what was that? You know, like, you know, and as I'm walking down, I just hear the whole house basically being pelted with like these ice chunks. We went from like a total standstill thing to like 60 or 70 mile per hour winds for about 5 minutes.
That's crazy how stuff like that just blows up out of nowhere.
And then this episode, basically same thing.
That's true.
Yeah, no, it was really just crazy. Like it was actually kind of shocking. Like how quick the storm, because we don't get normally little storms like that out of nowhere.
Kind of like the pop-up,
like pop-up storm.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the tornado completely reminded me of of my situation. Now we see a beautiful little calf who I bet is super soft to pet.
I love this little calf, and it is so tragic because he does not make it. He doesn't survive the storm. It's very sad, but he is just so cute. And that little shot after he dies is like heartbreaking.
I have a very dark question about this. Do they eat the meat? You know?
I don't know. That's a good question.
You're a farmer.
Because it definitely seems that they could use it, right? So they are farmers. So I think that they treat their animals well, right? Mm-hmm. But they
did I lose you? I might have lost you. Oh, man. All right, I'm going to pause. And we're back. Sorry about that.
Yeah, this is a cursed episode.
It really might be. We haven't had a cursed episode in a while.
We just need to make it through this episode and get it out before it gets deleted again. We need to do this episode.
Yeah, everything is like, I quit.
But like I was saying, so would they eat the calf? I think that they like treat their animals well, but they are farmers, of course. It's not like they're pets, right? They like have a purpose. It's not like this calf was like their pet.
You can eat a dairy cow, right? I mean, this might be a very stupid question, but
see why not. I mean, it's the meat, right?
I mean, steak, you know? Beef ribs.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, I don't want to eat this animal's ribs. it's too cute.
It's so cute. I love this little cow.
Yeah. Where is he? With his big eyes.
And then he has a marking on his forehead that kind of is like cow, like cow shaped. It's a little cow-shaped marking. It's so cute.
It looks like the, I forget the name of what it's called, but like Border or Border. There's like dairy company.
Oh, Borden?
Borden, is that it?
It's like Lizzie Borden? No, is it like Borden? Borden's dairy?
Do you see his tongue?
Is it the Borden cow?
You see his tongue?
Yeah, it's Borden. Ellie cow. Its name is Ellie or is it Elsie?
That I don't know.
I'm looking at her. It's Elsie the cow.
That's what we should name this guy. But we see the horse and we see the little cow and tornado kind of, I mean, we think a tornado. Yeah, it is a tornado. It's a twist.
Yeah, that just whips up in the middle of the night, of course, to the whole family. They're all like in bed.
Yeah.
This whole opening, of course, is very visual, but I think that it's really well done. Mm-hmm. It's very dramatic. They really get across like the urgency, which I think is like terrifying. Like in the middle of the night, you know,
I mean,
you're just woken up because the storm is happening. And of course it's not like they have like storm sirens or anything that would wake them up like how we have, or like your phone goes off.
It's the storm
with an alert.
The storm is literally waking you up, or, you know, the animals might be.
Right. And then it's like, you have to rush to get the kids into the cellar and then, Pa's trying to get all the animals out of the barn, which yay, Pa, you know what to do, because in Dr. Quinn, when there's that tornado, she's trying to put the horse in the barn. And I'm like, no, like, because then if the barn collapses, as we see in this episode, it kills the little cow, right? So I'm like, no, you don't want the animals in the barn. You want to take them out of the barn.
Yeah, there's a lot of panic going on. You know, it's very sad.
The side house, come on, hurry!
Do you mean the soddy? We don't call it the sod house.
The soddy.
Yeah, it is.
They're going to have like a whole bunch of apples and stuff to munch on in there.
Yeah, it's true. You can totally, you know, have an onion, a potato.
You're just waiting for during this whole dramatic scene when they're all like scrambling to get a soddy and everything. Carrie will just be like, it's the outhouse.
Exactly. You're in your outhouse now. So they all come in.
The animals out of the barn.
So it's like really a visual thing. So yeah, Pa goes and he's rescuing all the animals. And then we see like a lazy dog just in the corner. It's like, Jack. And that's where it was cute, where he picks up the calf and it's just like, it runs off, you know?
Yeah. You know, this is a real growth moment for Pa, though, that he's even helping Jack.
You see him, like, kicking his legs and everything. He's like, get off
me! I mean, yeah.
You're
going to
throw me in the river. Just,
a couple years ago, he was, you know, making him walk behind the wagon the whole trip and almost drown in a river. So, he's helping him.
Let's see. We have, see the chicken feed. I think it's the chicken feed fall over. And then we see a headless chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's lost income right there. Those eggs.
Yeah. We wake up to determine what the damage is. Again, it's a pretty visual situation. But it's a really interesting point, you know, to look at it from a cinematic point of view. Where Charles is very small now. Like he, this whole experience is so beyond him. And a lot of people have their breaking points, you know, we all kind of struggle. And, but this is totally different. This is the type of thing where it wouldn't surprise me if now Charles questioned his faith in God at all, you know, like questioning what's it all about and all of that type of stuff. But he's like angry and they're like, we'll help you. And he's like,
I don't need you. And I don't want you. You here.
I think that's really interesting. I was thinking about that moment earlier. Because in this episode, his acting is so solid with this really dramatic stuff. And I was actually just thinking that one moment, which I'll point out when we get there, where I think he is just so good. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is crazy because this is like, I think we get an example of like his best acting. And then that's an example of like his worst acting. Like, I can't think of another scene I've seen him in where his acting is like worse than that. The whole like stilted yelling and then he runs into a chair thing. So. Pretty funny.
One more time, just for the people in the back, you know.
I don't need you, and I don't want you. You here?
He's like a malfunctioning robot from Star Wars, or something.
Yeah, I actually have that little video of that saved on my phone. If I need a laugh, you know, I just look at it.
It's perfect.
It's pretty good.
This is a very sad scene where he sees that the calf was crushed. And he's the way he's kneeling next to the animal is very sweet.
Aw. Oh, it's so heartbreaking.
Don't fool cow.
That is like a seriously sad moment. Probably one of the saddest moments in all of the series.
Oh, it's so sad. And of course, you know, he kind of goes on to say that, you know, she thought the baby would be safe in there because he was trying to get them out of the barn, of course. Yeah. But then the cow was trying to find the shelter. And it's really sad, too, because then the mom cow is still just like standing there.
Yeah, like eating and stuff. But I mean, what is she supposed to do?
Yeah. And I'm just like, oh, this is so tragic.
We see that the house itself held up fairly well, I think.
Yeah, we have some of those twigs that fell out of Carrie's wall, right. It looks like. And
you just shove them back in there. It's fine.
You know, some things that you have to kind of clean up a little bit.
Yeah. Ooh, look at all that.
I guess. Oh, that's just from Carrie.
That's just Carrie's dirt. Ma, that's my dirt collection.
Yeah.
Yeah, so everybody's kind of cleaning up, and Charles comes in.
Just and then this is one of those scenes, too, where I think he just really grabs you, because this is, like, where you just see in his face, like, before he even starts talking, just like that he's complete.
Yeah. We've seen this face before as well, where he's lost the crop.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone. The whole field's gone.
Which we could contrast this too, though, with 100 Mile Walk, which we have already reviewed for Land and Nation, where he comes in and you can read on his face that, you know, we know the crop is lost before he even says it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is still, this is the first time that they've lost the crop, you know, in Walnut Grove. And I think it was much more optimistic, kind of, too.
Well, in 100 Mile Walk, I believe it was wheat. And this time it's corn. I don't think you can really salvage corn.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's true. I mean, they were able to, like, you know, salvage wheat and stuff. But, like, I'm talking about the scene when he comes in and kind of tells
her.
And then. Mm-hmm. And then he's kind of like, oh, I guess you could say we're back where we started. Well, okay, so at this point, they've been in Walnut Grove for a couple of years. They've lost the crop before. They've had all these other tragedies that have happened, you know, of course, because it's the Ingalls family. And now this is kind of seems like it's like the straw that breaks the camel's back, you know. And
has he had a successful crop yet?
No, right? He hasn't, because they lost the wheat. He convinced everyone to switch to corn, and now he's lost the corn.
Mm-hmm.
And then even like when you just look at like since we've met the Ingalls family in this series when they were in Kansas and he has like this crop is coming in Kansas and everything, right? And then they get kicked out of Kansas and then they go to Walnut Grove shortly after their even when they get to Walnut Grove, the Harvest of Friends episode, right?
Yeah.
Start off with hard times there, and then shortly after that we lose the crop with 100 Mile Walk. And then there's the richest man in Walnut Grove, like tragedy after tragedy.
Yeah, I mean,
in really just a couple of years.
How can you be positive about anything when every single time you try to do something, it's you just keep getting, you know, crapped on? That's crazy.
Yeah.
So he's in the barn. He's just, you know, a beaten man.
I see you found the horses.
Yeah. Why? In the name of heaven, why? I went out and I looked at that field today. You saw the way it was. I mean, corn higher than your head. I thought for once, just once, everything was gonna be good. I never try to hurt anybody. I try to live my life the way I thought he'd want me to. Why does it
be? I would like to point out, as far as never trying to hurt anybody, he does do a lot of punching.
He does. But wait, up to this point? Have we seen him punch up too many people?
Maybe not so far, but he does, you know.
Oh, it's coming.
Have a tendency to punch.
Charles, God isn't punishing you.
Well, then what is it, then?
Testing our strength? We'll know in time.
No more time. I'm just not strong anymore. I'm tired.
And that's so not the character of Charles Ingalls, right? I mean,
Right. I was just thinking that really even here, it's a little bit of kind of a role reversal where, you know, like I think Ma's a strong character and I think she really plays a really important role as in the family and kind of being like a rock, you know, for the family and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that normally it's like when we go through these tragedies and then, you know, Charles is like, we're going to make it work. I'm just going to like do whatever I have to do. We can all band together. We're going to get through it and we're going to come out stronger on the other side of it, which is what we see them do. Yeah. And then here, like when he's just like completely defeated and then like, you know, Caroline's really trying to kind of encourage him. And it's kind of like a little, it's kind of like opposite. Like normally like Charles is the one who's like, we're going to make it work. We'll do this, you know, even if it seems impossible. And now he's just like, I'm done. I can't do it. Like, this is it. I'm like, I have nothing.
Right.
You know, and she's now the one who's kind of like, no, we can make it work.
It's like, you can't quit.
If he's telling me anything, he's telling me to go home. Back to the big woods.
Like, would it be so bad to go back to the big woods? I mean, he would be a trapper, right?
Yeah, and I mean, really, I guess the reason why he wanted to leave is because he thought it was getting crowded, right, is what he says.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, like, I don't think that they really have... I don't think it would be bad for them to. I mean, like, it wouldn't really adversely affect them, except that, you know, they just have moved on since then. But even here, we're still really just... If you take, like, the time elapsed in the pilot and then two seasons, we're, what, like, 3 years removed from it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
That's pretty nuts.
Back to where I was born. I'm just tired.
Also, did he say back to where he was born? Because yeah. I'm pretty sure Charles Ingalls was born in New York.
Was he? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was born in New York.
Well, he's...
It's like upstate New York. I forget the name of the town, but somewhere like upstate New York.
Maybe he's like really revealing things here. He was actually born in the big woods. In a big tree.
Or maybe he's just rambling and changing his mind like, Carolyn, we're moving to New York.
Right, that'd be awesome. Oh, we're going to the Big Apple. All right, so everybody comes into town and we're like, I think as a viewer, we think everybody got hit.
Yeah, right. And then this is the scene, I will preface, where I think that like his acting is just so good. And we get like this one line in particular that I just love so much. That's like when I like have this on in the background or whatever, you know, like when you just have the TV on and have like one of your comfort shows or whatever on. And this episode is on. It's like whatever I'm doing, it's like on in the background. I like have to stop and like watch this scene because I love it so much.
And we have Edwards kind of ribbing him a little bit for being so late.
Time you showed up. I've been slaving away here all morning. Gonna keep banker's hours now, are you?
Just asking you.
Thanks, inside.
Just kind of blows right past Edwards.
Yeah, like not even acknowledging his hilarious joke.
Stanson?
Charles, we got to get the Benson order out in a hurry. You and Edwards go to work on that.
Edwards is like, come on.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, boy. He's like all happy about it. Okay, and then Lars is just like counting his fat wad of cash.
Yeah.
NATO came down on my place last night.
I mean, there's only like four bills there, but he sure is counting them slowly.
Was the family all right?
Yeah. They're all right.
Yeah, I didn't think to go by your place. I heard some twisters drop down east of here, but I... Well, how bad is it?
Some damage to my house and barn.
Lost some chickens and calf. My crop.
How much of it?
All of it.
Start all over again. And it won't be the first time.
No, not this time. I'm going home.
Now, come on, Charles. You don't mean that. This is your home. You got friends here. We'll help you.
Not this time. I made up my mind. Lars, I'd appreciate it if you'd spread the word. You know a lot of the farmers around here. Let them know my place is up for sale. Got about $80 in the land. I'd like to try to get that much out of it if I could.
Charles, there's no hurry. Give yourself some time.
I appreciate what you're trying to do, but... I think it's best if I leave here as soon as I can. It'll take a few days to fix up my wagon.
Whatever you say.
Appreciate it.
And that, like, even there, like, his facial expressions, like, yeah. I just think he pulls this off so well, you know, like, where he really is
in pain,
struggling. Yeah. This is very emotional for him. And he's just, like, he can't even make eye contact, you know, like, when he's talking to them.
I've never heard him call him Lars before.
Yeah.
It's usually like Mr. Handsome.
I have to think about this.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of weird. Here, listen.
There's in the land, I... Mm-hmm. Lars, I'd appreciate if you'd spread the word, you know.
See?
Yeah, that's kind of interesting.
Let me come along with you. I can give you a hand.
Is my line coming up here, okay. where I love it. I love it so much.
The moment.
Heard what I just said. It's coming.
Oh, I know which one it is.
Oh, this is kind of an interesting shot, too, with, like, Lars kind of just...
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, out of context, so it's kind of weird because it's like his head is just sort of floating on Mr. Edwards' shoulder.
I'll grab it for future
use. But we do get, it's like in this episode, we get some kind of like really interesting mm-hmm. shots that, you know, are kind of different than what we get usually in Little House.
Yeah, I heard what you said.
All right, then try to understand. I lost my crop. I can't make it here anymore. I can't keep telling myself that next year it's going to get better.
Look, I know how you feel.
You don't know how I feel. You're my friend, but you don't know how I feel. You still got your crop.
That was it. That's my line. I just love it. I love his delivery of yeah. it. It's so good. It is so good.
No.
And I really think it's a powerful line, too.
Yeah, I think so, too. I like the line. And he can't even, like, get mad. He's just so defeated. But what is Edwards growing? I mean, you think he's growing the same corn?
I guess. I mean, he got like the whole town to convert to corn, right? But I guess maybe like whatever he's growing, I guess he has, you know, the crop. But one of the reasons why I do really like the line too, and I think it's a good line, and I actually think it's really, it's one of those things that I think is a sentiment that's really resonates with like anybody who's gone through like any sort of situation, you know, that's like a personal tragedy, or you're just having a hard time with something, you know, something happened to you, you lost someone or something that was very special. And then when people kind of will try to like comfort you, but then what they're saying is like completely not comforting, you know, and it's like, it's really not what you want to hear. Or it's like, they kind of think that they're trying to help, but then it's like,
yeah, and it's not...
No, you're not helping. Mad. Like, you're not helping by saying this. It's like, I am going through this, and what you're saying is not helping. And sometimes it really even frustrates you more, you know, when people try to do that. And I think that's really kind of what he's conveying there. And it's like, yeah, you might... Even if you've gone through something similar, you might be like, oh, I know what it feels like for that to happen. But still, it's like, you're not me right now, who this is happening to, who's going through it, you know?
Yeah, and it's also kind of acknowledging that that he understands, like, Edwards' heart is in the right place, but it's not helping the situation. Like, it's just not. And it's also a final decision. You know, that's another thing. It's like, I'm done. I'm out of here. I quit.
I quit.
I made this decision all by myself. And him and Jack discussed it, maybe.
Yeah, Jack's like, I don't have to walk behind the wagon all the way to the big woods, do I?
Yeah, he's like, just shoot me.
Is supper already?
Yeah. Oh. Is there going to be a big river on the way?
I'd like to somehow veto this, if I might.
But yeah.
Didn't sound like you.
It's too sad to eat, I guess.
Because you're sad, that's no reason to starve yourself.
So the whole family is just really affected. I mean, getting up and leaving is just, it's tough for anyone. Laura goes into the church to talk to the Reverend, and they pray together. They kind of discuss Laura's observing that Charles's faith may be, he may be losing faith in general. which is interesting, you know, because Charles is, you know, such a, like, I never really consider him to be a religious person, right? But at the same time, he's always the type of person that has faith in things. He's like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I would describe him as, like, really overly devout. But I do think that faith is a part of his life, you know, and he, I think, does usually in the tragedies, you know, kind of resign himself, which I don't mean like in a bad way to resign himself, but just sort of be like, well, this is like the plan, you know, like there's a reason for it kind of thing.
We've seen it from time to time where he has to, you know, he'll be working on a Sunday, even though he was claiming to just sleep late. And Caroline gets...
Oh, yeah, we see that, like, at the beginning of the series,
And from what we understand, God understands farmers. So...
And this, farmers' wives.
So the Simses pull up.
Okay, so they use the name Sims a lot in this show.
Yeah, we have the pig farmer.
Yeah.
Do we have anywhere else?
When Grace Edwards leaves Isaiah, she marries a Sims.
Oh, really? That's so funny.
Yeah, anyway, those are the three I could think of. I don't know if there are any more than that, but it's one of those names they use a lot.
Good morning. Is this the Ingalls place?
Yes, it is. I'm Mrs. Ingalls.
Oh, it's a pleasure, young lady. I'm Matthew Sims, and this is my wife, Irma.
How do you do?
That's a hell of an eyebrow thing.
Yeah, you could braid those things. Literally. That's crazy.
They're like, I'd say, a full inch and a half.
Oh, it's, yeah. There are some shots where you kind of get him, like, from the profile, you know? And you could just, like, see it sticking off his face, like, an inch and a half. I mean, so this show, which anybody who in the Walnut Grove cast group, you know, brought up the eyebrow thing many, many times.
Yeah.
Because there are so many people on this show. This guy takes the cake, I think. But there are so many people on this show with just these insane eyebrows.
Mm-hmm.
What is going on there? Because how often do you see someone in real life with eyebrows like that? And yet on this show, we have so many people with these crazy eyebrows.
You know what I'm looking up is, I'm trying to remember the name of it. In a lot of early Charlie Chaplin movies, his characters will have, like, glued on, but huge eyebrows and mustaches, but mostly, like, really huge eyebrows. And it's so weird. Like, I had never, when I had seen these movies, I thought, oh, people don't have eyebrows like that, you know, for real. But yeah, they kind of did. It's kind of crazy. I mean, look at this guy. I'm going to look, try to find a photo while we're listening to them talk. Also, I wanted to point out, what color was his hair before it went gray, you think? Because on his head, it kind of looks brown, but his mustache looks like...
kind of red.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm sorry to disturb you on the Lord's Day, but we heard that your farm was for sale.
Yes, it is. You'll have to speak to my husband. He's in the barn.
Oh.
So they're interested in buying the farm, which is pretty good. Yeah, I mean, it's... You want to sell it, so...
We met a friend of yours, a Mr. Hansen.
Yes, Larson.
We were looking for a place to buy, and he mentioned your farm. Is it up for sale?
So Hansen kind of is, like, a little bit of, like, the realtor, right? Because that's who Charles, I think, bought this property from in the first place, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We remember they were up on the hill and shaking hands. That's pretty crazy. I didn't really thought that he's like the real estate agent. He's getting like the 2% or whatever real estate agent.
But I guess it's like his town, right? I mean, I guess maybe not like so much an agent, because I guess like he probably just owned the land, maybe, that Charles bought from him. Although, did he really, though? Because then we, as we're about to learn, the Sims lived there before, right?
Yeah, which I think is really crazy. They'd first... If I'm understanding it correctly, they just moved to Walnut Grove 40 years ago.
It was 40 years ago today.
Exactly.
Yes, it is. We're going to move back to Wisconsin. That was my home.
Well, now this is a coincidence. You're going home and we're returning home. You see, this was our first farm many years ago, of course.
You see, did you ever have a successful crop?
Well, what's kind of weird, too, is the way that he talks about Lars Hansen. I it seems like if they had lived there before and Lars, like, founded the town, like, they should know Lars, right? But kind of the way he talks about him, it doesn't really seem like they were, like, old friends or anything.
Yeah, like, he's, like, new to the entire area. Unless, you know, maybe he was there before it was founded.
So if it was like 40 years ago, what's the year on that? Unlike that, the Walnut Grove sign where it says founded by Lars Hansen, is there a year on there?
Let me look. Walnut Grove. Dun, 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 dun. Of course I can't.
Well, if that's the case, though, that they were there before it was founded, then maybe he's like, I really don't like this Lars guy because I was here first and he gets credit for founding the town.
1840.
Okay, so for it to be like 40 years, that would also make this like 1880. You got
when you just do a Walnut Grove Lars Hansen sign, you get the Prairie Review. I got lazy, I guess. I used the same exact one.
That's pretty funny.
I forgot about this one. This was a good one.
Good old Prairie Review.
People should head on over to Walnut Grove Cast and read them all. It's the onion good of time. The prairie.
The onion of the prairie. That could be like a good. That could be a good slogan for it.
The onion of the prairie. Yeah, that's actually it's kind of fun.
And imagine our surprise when we found out it was for sale.
We had a tornado when we were living here.
He's like a little too excited about it.
For sale.
Remember, Mama.
I'll never forget it.
Blew my whole crop clear to Mankato. Didn't hurt the sod house though. Your house and barn didn't fare quite as well.
I have a theory about these two, by the way. I don't think they have ever been to Walnut Grove. I think they go town to town just messing with people.
Oh, really?
Yeah, maybe this is like their way of like doing, you know, those shows where it's like you don't have a house or your house needs to be like, you know, redone. And they just
they're like the house like flipper people or whatever.
That's what they do. They're basically coming and they're, you know, they know that this happens or they're going to just show up and it's like,
well, alternately, in a similar vein, what if this could be sort of like a Highway to Heaven thing?
Yeah.
Where they go around and then they're like helping people.
By the way, so if you look at this.
Like they help them stay there.
If you look at your screen in The Immigrant, I can't seem to find a good example, but this guy, it's clearly like all glued on. But it's not a great example. But yeah, they have like people with like eyebrows that are like five times the length of this guy.
No, we lost some of the windows, part of the roof.
Like you always say, Anna, the more you have, the more you have to lose. Well, let's take a good look around, shall we?
He should have been an angel, right? That would have been kind of interesting.
He does, in the God Sister episode, is it St. Peter?
I'm not.
There's that scene in the God Sister, which I know none of us like to watch it that often.
I didn't think it was that bad.
But they like, when they end up in heaven, and I think he's St. Peter, you know, like guarding the gates of heaven.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, he does kind of like take on like these kind of heavenly kind of roles, I guess.
Yeah, well,
of course, he was in the show, what is it, like seven times, seven different people?
Yeah, which is really nutty. Because he plays James and Cassandra's uncle, great uncle.
He's in Gold Country, that Zechariah dude.
But, you know, like, whenever people watch, you know, The God Sister, it's like,
this is terrible.
Yeah, pretty much. Although, really, though, the B plot with Jonathan and Charles and the telephone lines, I think it's actually pretty good.
Yeah, I don't mind the episode, actually, so much. He was only 12. I have not seen in a forever.
But that one is terrible.
Was it? I mean,
I I think it's thoroughly skippable, and there aren't a lot of episodes that I say that about.
There are a couple episodes that I'm just like, I'm really not looking forward to doing.
Yeah.
And one of them is Man Inside, which I just don't remember, but it can't be that bad, right?
I mean, I don't think it's bad, but it also, like, I don't think it's great either. Like, I think it's kind of a meh episode.
Yeah.
I'm kind of the nephews is another one that I'm like, oh man, this is like not that great.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the nephews. I want the raft to like break apart when they're like on their like honeymoon. Not honeymoon, but
well, they call it their second honeymoon.
Yeah, do they call it? They do call it
that. Yeah.
So let's see. There.
You stay and talk to Mrs. Ingalls, Mama.
Right this way.
Caroline's like, don't leave me with this old biddy. She smells like Bengay.
I kind of, and I know a lot of people do it, especially kind of like older, like, you know, grandparent-y type people. But I don't like the whole, like, calling each other, like, mama or, like, mother and father or whatever. I just, like, have always thought that was weird.
Okay, mama.
Yeah.
Would you like some tea? Oh.
No, thanks. With some scotch. We're going to bring the party back to this farm.
She, like, reaches out of her shawl and, like, pulls out a bong or something.
We should totally, hit it again, but I get first dibs on it.
I just started saying that when you started playing it. That was awesome.
Yeah, so they're just kind of walking around and talking about how this place is so great, and Charles is like, well, you can own it again. I want out. I'm really surprised he didn't say something along the lines of, how is the weather when you owned it? You know, why did you leave? Let's see. We're saying goodbye to some people. Carl.
Still leaving. Yeah.
Speaking of Carl's, so you know Carl, that like wagon driver guy with the mustache, who's in like I think maybe all 9 seasons, and has lines occasionally and everything. You know the guy I'm talking about,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no, I know exactly who you are. I didn't know he was in all 9 seasons.
I think he is, because I think we see him in season 1, and I think we see him all the way up till the end. But he definitely is in most of the seasons, if not all of them. But we were watching it, you know, over the weekend on Pluto, and I don't even remember the episode or whatever. But Pete was just like, who's that guy? And I was like, that's Carl. And like, he was like, he thought I was like making it up. He's like, what? There's no one like, there's not this like Carl. I'm like, yeah, that's Carl.
That's
like,
Carl.
He's in like all the seasons. Like, he's like this, he's one of the few like townsfolk who's like always there, basically, like throughout the thing.
Yeah, it's like the guy
he's just
in
like,
the restaurant.
What? I've never like noticed that guy. I'm like, yeah, his name is Carl. I'm like, he's even like in the credits of this episode, you know, because he has a line. It's like his name in real life was Carl, and on the show he's Carl.
That's so funny. That's funny that he's like, nah.
Yeah. I'm like, no, really, it's Carl.
He's like fact checking it.
Yeah.
Why?
How soon will you be leaving?
I don't know for sure. End of the week, probably.
We should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs on it.
He's like a foot taller. Jeez.
Yeah, he is a lot taller. I mean,
he really makes her look like a tiny little girl. Get away from that girl.
Wait, are they engaged yet? Or that's next season that they get engaged, right? Yeah, so this is just sort of like the beginning of there.
I mean, look at this. I mean,
if you could even call it a courtship, I mean, they're like so young, but I guess this is kind of like the beginning of their budding romance. But that is something that a lot of like people, and I see this kind of floating around in like Facebook groups and stuff, where they just think like, oh, John and Mary, like what a great couple, and like, you know, stuff like that. And I'm like, you're like talking about children. Yeah, I mean, like, it's just, it's so weird to me, like, when these, like, adults are, like, all, like, idealizing, like, children's relationships. It's just so weird.
Yeah, it's definitely strange, but I just want to see, how old was Rodimus in this? Let's see. This is, again, 1976, and he's got to be in the cast. There we go. Is he going to be one of those guys without his age? No, 1960. So he's 16. Or 15, you know, depending on when it was filmed. And MSA is 2 years younger.
So she's like 13, like 14.
Yeah. It's not, you know, I mean, I guess when you're 14 and 16, you know, it does make a bit of a difference. But, you know, like if you're 35 and 37, it doesn't really make a difference.
Right.
When we two parted in silence.
So they skip school so that Rodimus can be like, we should totally hit it.
Yeah.
He's laying it on kind of thick, you know, and I, you know, this is like teens being in love, you know, everything is so emotional and real, I guess.
Is it like what I said?
I think so. I can't be sure.
This music is very 70s, like outside of Little House on the Prairie, you know.
They say there's only one way to tell.
How's that?
Well,
we should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs on it.
That's what he wants to say.
It's...
This places me in a rather embarrassing situation. Now...
Yes.
To kiss.
I've never done that.
Me neither. But you'll be going away, and we'll never know.
Never. So they get a little kiss, and she's like, I love you. And that's it. I mean, it's a sweet little moment, I guess. People really love it. They rewind it and watch it over and over again. We're in the hotel, and what kind of liniment do you think that the woman is putting on him?
I don't know.
She's giving a good massage, by the way. She's not like...
Yeah, you know, actually, it looks like a heck of a massage.
Yeah.
40 years. Hard to believe we settled there 40 years ago. Remember?
Of course I do.
It was right after my third divorce.
I carried you over the threshold into that little sauna. I'll never forget the look on your face.
So they have their own memories, and the Saudi, I guess, is the only original structure.
Yeah, which is kind of crazy.
It's kind of cool. All the wild times they had in that Saudi. Take those funny mushrooms. He's going to Saudi and eat apples, man. You'll be fine.
Okay. Can we pause for just a second? My dogs are going insane. I need to go see what's going on.
Sure.
Sorry.
And we're back. So we're in the loft, and Mary basically reveals to Laura that they kissed. And Laura's like, yuck. And she reveals that he said, I love you. And she said, I love you, too. And they're going to be happily ever after until he two times her.
Until he meets a city woman.
I don't know how often we've seen Laura and Mary sit where they're sitting in the school.
Like in the back like that. That is definitely weird. And on that side. They're usually on the other side, and then more towards the front.
What are these words? We have impossible, indigent, and indulgent.
Huh. And then we have a little math going on.
Yeah, very little math. I mean, are we serious with these questions? Like 12 times two? Like, come on. Should have been 31. That's, you know. Four. It kind of reminds me a little bit of, where is it?
My letter is T.
So, yeah, we're in the school, and John Jr. is going to just get into Mary's head a little bit more.
I'll sneak over to your place.
You can't. We're having the Sims over for dinner.
Just Laura listening in is so funny.
It's important, please. I'll wait out by the barn.
I'll try.
Say for sure.
For sure.
I feel like Laura would, like, maybe rat Mary out.
Oh, I could totally see that happening.
Now, one of the things I want people to realize is that Michael Landon did not play fiddle here.
Are you sure about that? Because it's so realistic looking.
I mean, he somehow plays different notes without moving his fingers.
Well, what's really funny is sometimes, okay, like that episode that Toby knows in when they have that dance and when he's playing like at the little, the barn dance or whatever, and he's playing the fiddle there. Mm-hmm. So he's playing that like kind of upbeat thing and his fingers, he's just sort of like flapping them, you know? And like, that's like how he's playing. And it's just so ridiculous looking.
Can you like fake it a little bit? You know what I mean?
I know, right? Exactly. But he's just sitting there like moving his fingers around. Like, yeah, this is totally what it looks like when he play the fiddle.
It's like,
That was beautiful, Charles. Just beautiful. I could sit and listen to the sweet sound of a violin forever.
Go on, pick another tune.
Let's let Laura choose this time.
How fine will it be?
I wish you'd smash the violin.
I can't think of one, Pa. I best be getting to bed.
Now, of course, they're all stressed. Actually, Mary looks like she might have hit it a little while ago right there.
We should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs on it.
She's having a little moment. But yeah, they're of course very depressed. I mean, the whole thing is just very depressing. They're moving, they're leaving all their friends, and it's terrible.
Just be a minute.
Please.
So, let's see. Mary goes out. Where is Mary going? I mean, we know where she's going, but I didn't really understand the whole I'm going to go out randomly. Did you? I lost you, and I didn't even know I'm, like, talking to you. It's unbelievable. So it's hopefully... And we're back from yet another interruption. I'm sorry.
This is seriously the cursed episode. It's crazy.
But at least with modern technology, we are not losing what we already recorded. So that's...
Yes. Yes.
Allegedly.
There we go.
As I've said... all right, so let's see. Mr. Sims is going to go up and talk to Laura, who kind of, you know, just she's upset. And they're like, yeah, sure, we don't really know you at all, but sure, go upstairs alone and go talk to my daughter alone.
At least it's like essentially a one-room house. So what can go wrong, right?
I mean, they are essentially in the same room.
Right? Yeah.
They're just kind of like, he's 4 feet.
Well, and it's
them.
Kind of weird how these people who are buying their property have like become part of the family.
in like 48 hours.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Look at that eyebrow swoop. Like, it's like a ramp. It's amazing.
But he like, you know, combs them, styles them.
I mean, I was kind of wondering if he puts curlers in them.
Conditions them.
Conditions them. you think he does hot oil treatment on his eyebrows?
Yeah. VO5.
Yeah. So let's see. What should I play next here?
Well,
Pa actually maybe also she's telling everybody he doesn't believe in he thinks God is mad at him. And it's really what she believes. She believes that he believes that God is mad at him.
Mm-hmm.
So sad. We're just kind of talking to Charles and Carolyn.
We're going over the Edwards place now. Why don't you come too? Sims will be here bright and early tomorrow morning for church. I've got a few things I want to get done before we sign the papers.
All right.
Really interesting music choice there.
Yeah. It's like,
have a good time.
I like this little back and forth between him and the dog, Jack.
Tell Isaiah I'll see him in church.
I will.
Not really a back and forth, more of him just talking to the dog.
It's our last day here, old boy.
Jack.
Guess we better not waste it.
I'll never let go.
Aw. Jack is a cute dog.
So Jack's like, I'm your peer.
I'm your peer. Teach me. I'm your dog. I'm your boy. I'm your son. So they go over to Edward's house and Mary and John Jr. run off, and they're like, we love you.
I thought about it a lot. And there's only one thing we can do.
We should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs on it.
That's the kind of thing that's going on in this shed.
Right?
What?
And he chokes her and kills her. They both double suicide.
Get married.
If I can't have you, no one
no
can
have you.
What?
What?
That's right. If your pa's set on leaving, he'll just have to leave without you.
Because you'll be dead.
Right.
That was a dumb thing to say, wasn't it?
I shouldn't commit murder.
I didn't mean to choke you.
Young, and they wouldn't let us anyway. I've been thinking about it for days, but I didn't know how dumb it was till I said it.
It wasn't dumb.
It was stupid. That's what it was. So here we have a little moment of how wonderful Walnut Grove is.
This is a pretty pivotal conversation that we have right here between the two of them.
Yeah.
For the episode.
What?
I was just thinking about when we first moved here. I told you what a friendly town this was, and the first person you met was Mrs. Olson. You didn't take any guff from her, though, not right from the start. Stood up to her. Made me proud.
Well, her bark is worse than her bite.
So, another thing that's interesting to point out here. So Charles is getting about $80 for the property. So it's like he's leaving town with money in his pocket for like
with the first like time more ever. Money than he like ever has.
But what's weird is like, remember when they're counting money and like what they're going to get, and it's like thousands of dollars.
Right.
It's like so that's weird.
True. I'm not so sure a husband would agree with that.
Did you see the little goodbye card that the girls made for Miss Beetle?
Yeah.
Well, then, is that school?
Never thought I'd see the day Half Pint and Miss gone to school.
They've grown up a lot here.
It's funny how these old notes are a little dated.
Mm-hmm.
The 4112 note.
Oh, the last week's. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Happened to me. Why have I done it?
Done what?
Did he murder someone, too?
He walked in on John Jr. choking Mary, so he choked John Jr. There are now those two bodies that he has to dispose of.
You down, let the children down. I just quit on this place. No, I've sold it and it's too late.
I quit.
You remember Colorado?
Oh, I thought that was a different one. Sorry.
Just realized something. I made the decision to sell this place all by myself. I never even asked you. So concerned about myself.
You're a real asshole.
You'd been through a lot.
We'd been through a lot.
Oh, now it's we. Now that the farm is sold, now it's we. Interesting.
We had. I never even asked you. I just gave up. My own little girl told me that and I wouldn't listen to her.
It's still not too late.
Oh, sure, it's too late. I made the deal. I can't get out of it now. Be Matthew's farm tomorrow.
Oh, I know that, but... but we could start over here in Walnut Grove.
But in a one-room sod house?
Oh, yeah!
But at least we'd be here. Where we belong.
Oh, yeah!
We can do it.
Then you hear, like, in the background, it's like...
I don't know.
Well, I do. I do know. And if you'd have come to the women folk in this family in the first place, we could have told you then.
No complaints about a dirt floor.
No complaints.
Charles is the sexy boy.
Yeah. He's like the OG sexy boy.
Actually, I read that Air actually wrote that about Michael Landon. You didn't know that? That's a little fun fact.
I heard they had a poster of Michael Lennon up in the recording studio.
More than one. There,
yeah. It was like a shrine.
It was autographed, too.
Oh, let's go tell the girls.
Well, it's the middle of the night.
Well, they can sleep anytime.
You know that actually Michael Landon founded the band Air.
Of course.
Yeah, and he was in a band.
And it was, of course, the name of the band is a reference to the many blowouts that his hair had.
What kind of blowouts?
The air.
An ass blast, maybe?
Well, let's go.
So they go and they wake up the kids and they're like, we're going to live in this in like a 100-square-foot soddy. We get to the Sims and... they're just kind of, I mean, they're too old to take over a farm. It's really
so
crazy.
That is something that I don't really get with this. So they have this sentimental attachment to the property because it was their first home or whatever when they were married. But I'm like, you're like taking over a farm? Like, you're way too old to farm.
Right. Okay, you're out of your mind? All he's growing are those eyebrows.
Right, yeah, he's farming his eyebrows.
Eyebrow nation.
This is crazy. Kind of they look really close together, too. Like, that's almost a unibrow.
Yeah.
Got a big day tomorrow.
It's also really weird that they're switching hands of the property, like, on Sunday morning before church.
It's true.
Kind of weird timing, right?
The whole thing is a bit bizarre. So, yeah, the Sims show up.
Got all the papers in the house for you to sign. I've got to ask a favor of you, though. My wife and I talked it over, and we decided to stay in Walnut Grove.
Check out that view, by the way, that they get, like, behind Charles. They had a great view at that house.
Got all the papers in the house for you to sign.
Yeah, what's up with that one piece of hair popping out of his head? It's like a lever.
I've got to ask a favor of you, though. My wife and I talked it over, decided to stay in Walnut Grove.
I mean, you want to fly a kite if you live there, you know?
Yeah.
Without breaking ribs.
It's going to take me a few days to find a place.
Well.
I promise you, it'll only be for a few days.
I don't know quite how to tell you this, Charles.
No!
But I'm...
That'd be awesome. No, I want you off my property.
I'm afraid I won't be able to make the deal.
He whips out a shotgun.
Right, off my property, boy. Off my property, sexy boy.
What?
His hair looks really great here.
What? What?
Well, Anna and I have been giving it a lot of thought, and we decided that it would be too much for me to try to run this farm by myself.
We're sorry, Mr. Ingalls.
I mean, all he did the other day was pick up a log and he needed a full rub down.
I know, right? By the way, I am kind of convinced that when he first introduced his wife, he said Anna, and now it's Anna. What is, I mean, which is it?
Depends on if it's Sunday or not.
Well, ma'am, please don't be sorry. I mean, like I told you, we talked it over and decided to stay here.
You sure make me feel a lot better. You know, it seems we both made wrong decisions.
It seems like we did. Look, the only thing is, the materials, everything you bought, I don't know when I'll be able to pay you for them.
No, you never mind about
it. Look at those eyebrows. Holy
It's funny, in our notes, I have Eyebrow Nation. And now we got the podcast Landon Nation.
Yeah, exactly. Full circle.
About that. Yeah. It's all my fault. When you can see a way clear, why a little extra donation to the church would more than make us even.
Little donation. $1.
You sure?
Anna and I were married in that church. I think we owe a little extra for that.
Did he just say Anna again?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This guy's all over the place. This
guy, he's drunk.
Well, I'll see to it. Please, won't you come in the house?
Well, we'd like to, but we've got a very long way to travel today.
Give our best to your wife and family.
So, they were going to bail on the deal either way, right? They were prepared to screw over this deal one way or the other. Right? I mean,
even if Pa hadn't said they were going to stay, they were going to back out?
Yeah. So he's like, I discussed it with Anna and decided that I can't do this.
So the night before, like when they were in bed, like he was having his doubts, right? But I don't think that they had yet decided they were going to back out, right? Yeah,
but he did say discussing it with her, they decided that he...
I mean, did he really, or is he just saying that now to like make Charles feel better or something?
I mean, he picked up a log, you know, he needed a full rub down. I mean, the guy can't...
He can't even remember how to say his wife's name.
I will.
Exactly. He's completely demented.
And God bless you both.
Thank you. Goodbye, Charles.
Goodbye. Have a good trip.
Hey, bye. Get him. Like, bye.
Yeah. He's like big pimping in that wagon.
It's a nice wagon.
Look at those wheels.
Well, you know, when he comes back as like the rich uncle, he has like one of the nicest buggies. It's like a low rider with like everything is black on black. It's pretty nice. So it's in. He's like,
that was a really funny run. Carl's running.
Carolyn!
It's funny. It actually looks better in real time. So these scammers are simply going to go on to the next town and do it all over again. This is how they get free meals. And
but does he call her Anna or Anna here? I've got to hear it.
Sorry, Mama.
Oh, Mama.
Don't you listen, old man. I told you I'd be happy anywhere. As long as we're together.
He chokes her and kisses her.
So no final word on if it's Anna or Anna.
Well, we got two Annas, one Anna, right?
Her bonnet thing is looking like very Amish, kind of.
Yeah. I can hear your connection getting sketchy on my end, so I say we just finish this up as quickly as possible. But Kelly, thank you so much for doing this and putting up with all of these technical difficulties.
Yeah, it was crazy, but we got it done. So I'm glad that we revisited this episode. Don't lose it this time.
No,
I love it. I love this episode. I love Michael Landon in this episode. So I think it's a good one.
Yeah. I enjoyed this episode, and the line that you pointed out, I think, is a really nice and sweet line. A lot of really serious moments with Charles, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But his acting is just so solid. He pulls off, like, the dramatic and everything so well, so.
That's our boy.
That's our boy. That's our Mikey.
That's our sexy boy.